Welcome to the Oddity Shop, where the bizarre is always on sale.
Welcome in, your oddballs. This is the Oddity Shop. I'm your curator, Kara. This is your other curator, Zach.
Hello. And this is the podcast where we bring to you from our shop creepy, odd, weird, strange, paranormal, haunted stories from around the globe. How the hell are you today?
Well, I got a new shirt in the mail today. I literally just unpackaged it while you were chatting with me. I don't even know if you noticed it.
Nope. Completely
so
oblivious
cute.
As usual.
It's the Munsters.
Oh, cute.
And it's like the 50th anniversary shirt or whatever, but I saw it and I was like...
Okay, what about the shirt you're wearing? What does clothes over bros mean?
Well, those that know, know. So, we'll leave it at that.
But I want to know.
It is Brooke. It's Brooke Davis's clothing company from One Tree Hill.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I should have known it was One Tree Hill. It's always One Tree Hill with you.
It's always One Tree Hill or like Supernatural or...
Oh! I finally watched TV. Speaking of TV shows. I binged the first season and a half of Only Murders in the Building. Have you watched
it? No, because I don't have whatever it's on. Give
it's
me
on
your
Hulu.
Login so I can watch it. I don't have Hulu. Give it to me.
I can't give you my Hulu because it's not mine.
Oh, bitch at me for not having Hulu and then you're stealing somebody's.
So it was cute. It's people who end up putting on a true crime podcast.
Selena Gomez, right?
Yeah, it's Selena Gomez.
Yeah,
it's
I love her.
Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, yeah.
And then Nathan Broderick's in it. I mean, everybody is in it, let's be honest. Like, everyone who's had, like, a small part in things you've seen is in it. They have some huge... Sting is, like, a main character.
Isn't it on, like, season 3 now?
I think so. And it's one of those things where, like, season 1 was really good. Season 2, it's like, some shows should just be left at season 1 and then be done with it. But it's cute. Yeah. They definitely make podcasting look real easy, though.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it had anything to do with podcasting, though. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they, like, Selena Gomez and then Steve Martin and Martin Short come across a body in their building.
Well, like, I knew that part, but I guess I didn't really know what... Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
And then, so they started a podcast called Only Murders in the Building. It's cute, though. You should watch it. That's about all I've got going on. There's... Nothing else.
There's like birds in between my attic and the house. Like they're not in the house, but like you can probably hear them. So there's birds on the walls.
This is a lesson on karma because you've made fun of the squirrels in my walls for like a year and a half since I got rid of them. And now you got birds in your walls. So
but it's not really in the walls because it's literally one little spot. It's one of those fake decorative windows that have slats for like ventilation. And they're just like, they got in there. They're
so anyways, if you hear some pecking in the background.
And I'm telling you, these birds don't know how to live. It's 10 o'clock at night. Don't they? They should be sleeping. The early bird gets the worm. They got to get up in the morning. They need to be sleeping.
They don't need the worms. They're eating all your guys' scraps. All right. You got anything else or are we jumping in?
Nope. What you got for me? What's my question that I'm not going to like?
This one's probably it. Well, it's whatever. Here's the question. What part of the United States do you feel has the most consistently like high amount of high strange events? Like what's the weirdest part of the U.S. do you think?
Oh, God. It's probably... I know this is wrong, but Ohio is like coming to my brain. I'm just thinking Ohio has weird shit. I don't know. I know that's not right.
Well, there's no right or wrong answer, but yeah.
Well, I feel like that there is.
I think Ohio is like, just there's... a terrible place in general. Sorry, Ohioans.
Ohio is for lovers.
Listen, we just have to hate Ohio, though, because we're Michigan, so.
Okay, but I think that there is more.
There's quite a few haunted places there.
No, that's not what I was going to say. There is definitely somewhere in the United States that has the most. What is it?
Well, I don't know about the most, but I got another triangle for you this week. Okay, so we did the Bermuda Triangle. Obviously, like, everyone knows about that one. I feel like you might know of this one based on some previous research that you did, but I don't feel like a ton of people know about it, and that is the Bridgewater Triangle.
I don't know. I was saying,
as we get into it a little bit, you're gonna realize why I thought you might know about it. But there's just so much shit that happens here.
Let's go.
All right. So you ready? I'm guessing since you're telling me let's go. Do you want me to ask you if you're ready three more times before I actually start, just to build the anticipation like you did?
Like SpongeBob?
No. Ready? No, not doing that.
Let's go.
The Bridgewater Triangle is about 200 square miles. It's in the southeastern portion, thank you, of, oh, and this is gonna be a doozy too, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Oh, now I can't say it because you can. Massachusetts.
The three points of the triangle are formed by cities. We have Abington, Rehoboth, and Freetown. My God, Freetown. This is really, you guys are in for a fun hour.
It's late. It's 10. It's after 10. It's late.
And I'm still sober, okay, guys? I'm not drinking. I say sober, Californian sober, but.
Maybe that's the problem.
Right. Okay. Let me get through the first paragraph and we'll see how the rest goes. So these three towns, though, make up the points of the triangle, and they're in what's called the Greater Bridgewater Area, where we get the name. So there's, though, like, everything happens here. So you have UFOs, poltergeists, ghosts, cryptids, disappearances, strange light anomalies, disembodied sounds, and, like, way more in this 200 square miles. Which, I mean, it's a pretty, 200 square miles is a huge area.
Sounds like Hoyabacho.
And it's similar, actually. So I did find a quote, though, to start us off from one of our favorite investigators and writers in the field, Mr. Jeff Belanger.
Oh.
And he sums it up pretty short and sweet. He says, the Bridgewater Triangle, I think per square foot, we've got more weirdness here than the Bermuda Triangle could ever hold a candle to. And the reason, of course, is so much history. Okay.
When we were taking a picture with him, did you want to grab his butt?
Dude, the man's, he's got tree trunks for legs, okay? And now I'm not going to just go around grabbing butts, but I will appreciate his physique.
Yeah. I wanted to grab his butt.
I know. Okay, so he mentions the history. I want to get into the history later, and I'm not going to bore you with the history like I do at the start. Quit swirling your drink. I have enough editing to do, Kara.
Sorry, listeners. Keep all that in.
So there's another really famous investigator. He's a cryptozoologist, right? So I've gotten to see him speak before. I don't think you have, but Lauren Coleman, do you know of him?
Mm-mm. No.
So he's written over 40 books, mostly on cryptids. You know, with that many books, and as long as he's investigated, kind of knows what he's talking about. I will say, he was not my favorite speaker, because while he does know a lot of what he talks about, he also thinks he knows a lot of more than anybody else. But not discounting the fact that he is still an insanely well-versed guy in this stuff. So he actually coined the name for the Bridgewater Triangle.
Oh, interesting.
It was in one of his books that came out in the 70s, and then it really caught on from there, right? That now that name stuck. So he was actually able, though, to trace high strange phenomenon, God, going all the way back to 1760 in this space.
Dang.
But, like, I mean, there's tons and tons of other researchers who go here all the time. Our buddy Sam Beltrusis, that's where him and the demonologist were going back in those trails, and they caught that picture of the Pukwudgie.
The demon? We don't have a name for him?
What's his name? Do you remember?
Yeah, hold on. I have it somewhere. Damn.
Okay, so while you look for that, Ronnie LeBlanc from Expedition Bigfoot, he actually lives in the Triangle and has tons of stories. So there's a lot of researchers. Two fun facts for you. Two things fall in the Triangle. Lizzie Borden's house.
Oh, interesting.
The host of Morbid.
Ah!
They live pretty much in the center of it. Well, not the center, because that's a swamp. But, I mean, it's 200 square miles. There's hundreds of thousands, at least tens of thousands. I'm pulling these numbers out of my butt. But that's, you want to so take crazy. A tour of the Triangle with me?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take you to some of the most notable places. We're going to go over some other things that happened, just not even tied to locations. I've got a little bit of history for you, and then I know because you love them so much, a couple of firsthand accounts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say murder.
No, no. Well, there's
I know because you love them so much.
Murder. Okay. So the first stop on our tour of the Bridgewater Triangle, we're going to the city of Abington. It makes up one of the points of the triangle, like we said, and this is where Lauren Coleman had that evidence back from 1760.
Okay.
So on the morning of May 10th, 1760, witnesses described seeing a huge sphere of fire in the area that was hovering like above the trees. So at first people thought it was kind of like the sunrise coming up, and then
oh, interesting.
It wasn't, because then they could see the sun too, but this like giant sphere of fire kind of rose above the trees. People said it was actually like brighter than the sun, and then slowly just dissipated.
That would be wild to witness.
It kind of gave me a couple thoughts, right? A little bit of like back to the Dyatlov Pass, where we talked about those fireballs that were either ball lightning or puckwudgies, could be UFO.
Puckwudgies.
Whatever. But Abington over the years has still had tons and tons of UFO sightings. Cool? With me so far?
Cool. Yes.
You ready for our next stop?
Yes.
Better be, because we're going to Freetown, not Freetown. Freetown.
Somebody might call it Freetown. Who knows?
Who knows?
It sounds more. It sounds like upper class Freetown.
Yes. Okay, we're going with that. So in the other point of the triangle, Freetown, there have been tons of cases of animals found mutilated near the sides of roads around the area.
Don't like that.
Yeah, no. No one's really been caught as the perpetrator of this, but local police have investigated it quite a few times, and they think a lot of it comes from ritual sacrifice.
I was gonna ask.
Being the work of a local cult.
Love those cults.
Love the cults. Between Fall River and Freetown is a state forest. Some places it's called Fall River State Forest. Other places it's called Freetown State Forest. I literally checked it. It's the exact same place. Just seems like it has a few names.
All right.
So it's got more than 50 miles of unpaved roads and hiking trails, covers about 5,200 acres. The first kind of weird thing here that isn't like too strange is that it's home to like a ton of recurring wildfires.
Mm.
Whatever. I feel like most forests that could happen in East Coast is less... It happens a lot less than it does on the West Coast.
True.
Especially when you realize that most of the Bridgewater Triangle, or a good portion of it, is swamps and wetlands. So it's like, it's not like it's like a super dry place.
Yeah, and that's odd.
So also in the forest, though, are plenty more mutilated animals from our satanic cult again, and rumored history of murders carried out by the satanic cult as well. See, I told you I had murders for you.
Thank you.
And I feel like the whole like satanic cult and ritual and killing thing is like one of those tropes that you always hear about haunted places, but there's not a lot of evidence for it.
Mm-hmm.
This one does. Mm. So November of 1978, the body of a 15-year-old girl, Mary Lou Aruda, is found. So she was a cheerleader, a young girl, a whole lot of life ahead of her. However, she was found murdered and tied to a tree in the forest.
Oh.
Cops investigated. They eventually find her killer, who was a convicted kidnapper.
That's fabulous. He was just out and about.
Yeah. Yep. So he had some priors. Then 2 years later in 1980, the police were investigating another murder in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And they're approached by individuals who claim to have actually seen the satanic cult carrying out activity deep into the woods, which led to evidence. The police found basically actual evidence of this cult, and that kidnapper was a part of it. And that's how they ended up tying him to a couple murders.
Yikes.
In this forest, there's been at least three other murders that have happened, as well as an unexplainable number of suicides that occur in the Fall River State Forest.
That's sad.
Yeah, we're having fun, aren't we? Ready to go to the next stop? Jump on the Bridgewater bus, baby. We're going to Profile Rock.
Death. Moving on.
I have to keep the story short because we got a lot of stops, okay? Profile Rock is where we're going next. And it's actually, so this is a landmark in the forest. It's basically, it's a 50-foot tall piece of granite that was not purposely carved, but it resembles a human face, especially from the side.
Like a side profile?
But hence the name Profile Rock.
Duh.
Now, the rock has been there, obviously. It's a 50-foot tall piece of granite. It's been there for forever. It was spiritually significant to your Puckwudgie friends, the Wampanoag.
Puckwudgies.
So this is the Wampanoag tribe was huge in the Bridgewater area. being that this place had kind of like a spiritual significance for them, they did a lot of rituals and stuff in front of this rock. So now if you visit Profile Rock at night, you get a lot of strange phenomena. You could find a man sitting upon the rock who disappears as you get closer. You might find a group of Indians dancing traditional or typical Native American ceremonial dances on or near the stone.
That'd be cool.
Or you just might hear the sounds of groups of Native Americans wandering through the forest.
Okay.
What do you think of this rock so far? Do you like rocks?
Do you like rocks?
Do you like rocks?
I like rocks.
Because the Bridgewater's got a ton of weird rocks, so we're going to keep going with the rocks, so you better like
it. I mean, it's like nature-y, so it makes sense. You know, like to be in rocks.
Do you like to be alone?
Yeah, I love to be alone.
You're going to love our next stop then, which is solitude.
Wait, rock. Hold on. We have to stop for a moment.
Okay.
Is everybody buckled?
Yeah, and please, could you guys, listeners, please keep your hands and your feet inside the vehicle? There's enough mutilated animals along the way.
Also, what are we driving in? Is it like a school bus? Like, is it, are we continuing our school? Like last week we were at school, so kindergarten story time. Are we on a school bus, like a field trip?
Do you feel the most powerful and beautiful with the elements of the earth around you? Do you like one-of-a-kind jewelry? Do you sometimes feel like a woodland fairy? Me too. That's why I created Holly and Hemlock, a magical shop filled with handmade wooden jewelry and metaphysical tools. Come check out our enchanting wooden wares at www.hollyhemlock.com and join us in honoring the magic and beauty of nature with each unique creation. That's www.hollyhemlock.com.
Do you want it to be a school bus? Would that make you feel better?
I don't know. That might
okay,
be
it's
weird,
a school bus, but it's a short bus okay. because we don't
well,
have
then we don't have seatbelts.
They do now.
Oh, good. Some do. It's about damn time.
Seriously.
They should have. Anyway.
Okay. Solitude Rock. Boop, boop. You ready?
Another rock.
That was supposed to be the break noise.
Oh.
boop, boop.
Boop, boop.
All right. So this rock is near the side of the road in West Bridgewater. And it's got a poem literally like carved deeply into it. And the poem reads, "All ye who in future days walk by Nunkatesset stream," I don't know how to say it, Nunkatesset stream, okay. "love not him who hummed his lay, cheerful to the parting beam, but the beauty that he wooed in his quiet solitude." I've never been one who really understood poetry. Doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
It sounds good.
It sounds good. It sounds eerie. Good job. It was actually carved by a pastor named Reverend Timothy Otis Payne in 1862, which is, I mean, that's kind of crazy that he carved this so deep. You can still like easily read this today.
What year?
1862. So we're coming
that's
up
crazy.
On 200 years almost.
That's cool.
Not that strange paranormal wise, except for the fact that the rock was discovered when it was discovered, there was the body of a missing person next to it.
Oh, that's odd.
Bridgewater is also known for disappearances, like unexplained disappearances, and more than one body has shown back up at this rock over the years.
That's really weird.
Yeah, especially when it's like the... Okay, so the first part is obviously he's talking about like something he loved, but cheerful to the parting beam, the beauty that he wooed in his quiet solitude. I don't know, like the beam thing, I'm probably reading into it too much because I'm not a poet person, but that like is a little alien-y, weird. Like, why
maybe.
Do you have to lay in this quiet solitude and why are there bodies?
Can you go back? So you said that when they even first discovered this rock, it was because they discovered a dead body by it and then they just happened to see the rock?
I think I may have said it backwards.
Oh.
I did. It's not that they discovered the rock because there was a missing person's body there one of the time or like they found a missing person's body near the rock because they knew where the rock was. I'm not doing a good job of that.
So they just knew
they keep finding bodies by the rock.
Okay. What is that song? Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the
I'm a new tour guide here. Okay, I don't have all the facts, but I did my
you
best.
Are you are not a good this
wow.
I paid for this tour. I
not much. Get back on the bus. Shut your mouth. All right. We're going to Taunton, the city of Taunton next. In the city of Taunton is the state hospital. Well, and we all know that whenever you see someplace named like the city name state hospital, that was a psych hospital.
Yeah.
So it did open up in 1854. It was expanded like pretty constantly. It's almost Winchester-y how much they kept working on it. But one of its last upgrades was done in the Kirkbridge style, which is what our asylum up in Traverse is by.
Mm.
Kirkbridge, he was one of the first people who was like, hey, we're not just like locking quote unquote loonies away for the rest of their life. Like, let's make the place beautiful. Let's give them a purpose. Beautiful. Let's give them jobs, you know, really like focus first on making the patient's life as normal as possible, while also at the same time knowing that they needed to be separated from the public, right? So Kirkbridge style hospitals were always made to be like self-sustaining cities.
They were intended for good.
They were. Kirkbridge, I think when state asylums were at their highest, he was the only one who was doing it at least close to right.
Yeah.
But as we know, in the middle of the 70s, like almost all the other psych hospitals, the funding stopped. The patients were handed a bag of their pills and said, good luck. So all the patients were left out and all the dark energy is left behind.
So awful.
Dark energy like that of the patient Anthony Santo, who killed basically like a ton of children.
Oh, so that sounds familiar.
Or the serial killer Jane Toppin, who racked up 31, as she called it, helpless people because she was trying to save
them.
Yeah.
By killing them?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's two of the serial killers who were in this hospital. There's more.
Cool.
The rumors are, too, near the end of the hospital's days, there was a lot of patients disappearing from the hospitals because, remember, our satanic cult from the woods?
Mm-hmm.
They are rumored to have also been in charge here.
Oh, they're in charge of the hospital?
Yeah, before it closed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, infiltrated the ranks. You know, it's kind of an endless supply of sacrifice, but... So careful as we go around the hospital today, Kara, because you might hear some disembodied blood-curdling screams.
I can imagine.
Inside, you'll hear cries for help and sobbing. Outside on the grounds, you'll see people in shadows moving around inside and both outside the hospital and venturing out into the woods around. And if you try to leave through the woods or just try to walk away, you might be grabbed and try to be pulled back into the hospital.
Oh, that's fabulous. Just fabulous.
Some have gone as far as to call it America's most haunted asylum, which is probably like the third asylum I've seen that gets this name. So let's put them all next to each other and see what happens. But if the ghosts and the disembodied voices and the grabbing and satanic cults aren't enough for you, hang around long enough at night and you might see some UFOs above Taunton and the state hospital. Whoop, whoop. So a little bit of everything once again. Probably shouldn't hang around too long. So get back onto the bus. We're heading over to King Philip's Cave. Are you? I'm not letting this joke go now. It's too deep. Do you know of King Philip much at all?
I mean, not particularly.
Okay, so King Philip, he's, despite the name, he's actually a Native American. His name is actually Chief Metacomet. But he, around like the mid-1600s, the Wampanoag people and the British settlers were like getting along, mostly because like the colonists were just colonizing and the natives were like, OK, well, we'll sell you some of this land, but don't come any further than this. So it was never great, but they made it work for them. OK, that was until the King Philip's War, which we'll get into a little bit more down the road. But King Philip, Metacomet to King Philip, he adopts the English name because part of the relationship with the settlers. And he saw how much the British settlers respected kings.
I do actually vaguely know this. Yeah, now that you're talking about it,
So yeah, we'll talk more about that. Like I said, I'm saving the history for you for the end. But this cave is apparently where King Philip hid during one of the battles.
Oh.
A lot of the Bridgewater legend seekers like to come here. Especially with cameras. So you'll be able to take photos of a lot of like floating orbs of lights in the woods and around the cave. A lot of people experience like they'll look out in the distance and see a campfire.
Oh.
And then they'll walk and walk and walk and then the campfire disappears.
That would be so trippy.
Then the next part reminded me a lot of the woods in Rhode Island by the Conjuring House. Because at night you'll hear phantom drum sounds coming through the wood that sounds like the march of, you know, Native Americans heading into war. But it's like it gets louder and louder to the point you feel it in your chest.
Yeah.
And like when this group of warriors should be upon you, it goes to dead silence.
That's so scary.
That I think honestly that would creep me out more than like seeing something.
For sure.
Because I mean that would just put me in like fight or flight. I think I'd just put me in freeze. Like I wouldn't be able to function.
Mm-mm. No, I have goosebumps. Because I was just thinking, now I'm thinking about how like Satori basically says, she's like, yeah, I don't go into that woods because that's so scary.
A lot of these woods and the triangles seem to have like a very similar feel. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not far from mm-hmm. Rhode Island. It's the same sort of thing, settlers yeah. versus natives. So I have a lot of that same energy going over. But we're getting back in the bus because I've got a third and final rock for you, baby.
I was, you know what? I really wanted another rock.
Okay, good. Because this is the Dighton rock.
I really want the rock, but it's fine.
As far as I know, he has not visited the triangle, at least in my research.
Okay.
This one's more oddity than paranormal, but I think it's still worth mentioning because it's just fucking weird.
Okay.
There was a... So the Taunton River... You know rivers move, right? Like, they don't follow the same path forever. They kind of, like, snake back and forth. So, like, what was the riverbed at one point is now just kind of a dried up area.
Just around the riverbed.
I knew it. Okay, so in the, what year is this? I think I missed putting the year in here. Oh, 1680. So in 1680, the Dighton Rock was found.
Okay.
It's a 40-ton boulder.
Oh.
Covered in petroglyphs. So
okay.
petroglyphs, fancy. In case you don't know, are a series of carved shapes, lines, and drawings, which can depict people, scenes, or writing, which this one has a little bit of all of it. The weird thing is it's 400 years old and nobody has any idea who made it. So it was found 400 years ago. So we know it's right. older than 1680.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It was actually found by a Harvard student, which is crazy that Harvard's even that old, but wild.
Oh, yeah.
Ever been able to determine who created it, what the carvings mean? They actually moved it to a little museum now, so you can still go see it. You should look up pictures of this, though.
It's I need to.
It looks like there's something that's like unreadable writing on it.
What is it called again?
D-I-G-H-T-O-N. Rock. But then there's like, it looks like maybe on the right side there's like people around, maybe a campfire. I see a fish, and then on the left side there's like a girl.
I see a fish. Oh wow.
So the thing is though, that it's not Native American as far as
That's
anyone can tell
weird.
Because the writing style in the petroglyphs doesn't match up to any Native American language. What it most closely relates to, and while there's dozens of theories on who made it, one of the kind of agreed upon ones by, not agreed upon, but one of the ones that makes sort of sense is that the ancient Phoenician people could have visited North America at some point and then carved this into the rock. Because this the petroglyphs really... are really, really similar to how they wrote and recorded history. But like they shouldn't be anywhere near America. Like this is like way back ancient world, like Mediterranean, if I remember.
I don't know, but you should look this up just because it's, you can't explain it, but it kind of reminds me of like, you know, those like that 80s pattern. It's just all those weird zigzags. And do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can totally see it.
That's what I'm seeing. But like, it's just, that's so wild. That's not what I was expecting it to look like.
No. And it's so out of place.
It is. Dude, there's nothing weird that like happens with association of it.
No, it's just it.
Okay.
We should not have Phoenician style petroglyphs in the Americas from over 400 years ago. Like it makes no logical sense.
No, it doesn't. But it's cool. It's really awesome, actually.
All right. So our last stop. Is Ooh. So we've hit a lot of things so far. We've got ghosts, we've got spirits, we've got UFOs, right? We've got some disappearances, murders. The only thing we really haven't touched on much are the cryptids. And come on, it was a cryptozoologist who discovered this place. So the Hockomock Swamp is basically in the middle of the triangle.
Oh, okay.
It is 17,000 acres. And there's just tons and tons of stories and legends of the swamp.
Interesting.
Some people actually just call it Cryptid Swamp. I'm sure you can guess why.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wampanoag people are actually the ones who named it the Hockomock Swamp.
Okay.
Which literally translates to the place where the spirits dwell.
Oh, that is
terrifying.
Alarming.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is also like the areas that Ronnie LeBlanc, Expedition Bigfoot, and all them, a lot of the Bigfoot hunting shows are in Bridgewater, and this is where they're investigating.
Okay.
So a little bit of a side tangent, just because this is how you and me have learned to think about Bigfoot and kind of want to share it with everyone. But yes, Bigfoot is a cryptid, but a lot of current research seems to like pull him closer to either being some sort of multidimensional being or UFO related somehow. So the comparisons are because like a lot of Bigfoot sightings also coincide with these orange orbs in the sky that act a little bit UFO alien like. They also act like they kind of pop in and out of existence, right? Or the fact that this is the area where they started to really research Bigfoot and find like, okay, there's no way he could have been like 100 yards behind us and all of a sudden, you know, 30 yards in front of us, or like people would get a glimpse of him and then he'll just go invisible. Like he's got freaking predator style camo going and like can move around without making noise. Like,
I wish I could remember what episode we talked about this, because this was even before you thought about what you're talking about. I said that I heard, because Sabrina from Two Girls, One Ghost thought about this, and I was like, I think he jumps through little portals. He can blimp through little portals. And I was like, maybe she goes, maybe the trees are portals. He can pop through like trees. And you laughed so hard and thought it was so dumb. And now look at you.
Because since then, I've heard it from professionals.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm sorry. Well, before, the only two people I had heard it from was you and Nick. So give me a break. Love you.
Continue on.
Anyways, though, so this is where like tons and tons of Bigfoot sightings are happening. This is where people are getting, and you can actually go on TikTok for this and look up Hockomock Swamp videos. Hockomock Swamp.
Say that 10 times fast.
Hockomock Swamp. I could.
Hockomock Swamp.
But there's like the videos people are posting on there saying that it's puckwudgies or all sorts of different creatures. It's
probably all of them.
There's also a ton of sightings in the sky of not UFOs, but giant winged creatures that have been described as looking like pterodactyls, dinosaurs, dragons, and the ancient native thunderbirds.
That's so exciting. If you could be a dinosaur, what would you be? Here's the thing.
I always liked the stegosaurus. I would want to be a stegosaurus.
Oh, that's so cute. I would be a raptor, but I feel like I'd have to be a pterodactyl so I could be a pterodactyl.
I hate you.
Okay, go on.
You would be a terrible raptor because every time you ate, you'd cry about killing something.
No, I'm vicious. I love raptors.
Okay, cool.
Okay, go on.
Back to the Hockomock Swamp. So not just cryptids, because as the name implies, we got spirits, and now there's thought to be like good and bad. So the good intended spirits help nature. They help animal populations thrive, all that kind of stuff, right? Like make things safe. And then the Wampanoags thought there is also not so friendly spirits in here.
Entities, something, yeah.
And they were more responsible for luring people deeper into the swamp, where they too would become spirits.
Oh.
So on top of tons and tons of cryptid sightings, we have a lot of disappearances in here. And like people will say, it's like you can walk the same path you know you've walked before, and all of a sudden it looks different, or you're turned around, or something like catches your vision, right? So you start heading that way and like you start going in circles and just have no idea where you are anymore. And at different times of the year, with it being a swamp, like the water levels can go up and down. People have drowned, unfortunately, and or got it's, you know, East Coast, so it could be a warm day, but that water could still be really cold depending on the year or time of the year, right? Yeah. So like lots of dangers within the Hockomock Swamp. So those are some of like the main geographical locations. Just to kind of give further evidence, though, put things that have happened not tied to specific spots, but puckwudgies, your best friends, they are everywhere. They're like literally all over the triangle. Like I said, you can go on TikTok. You can see a lot of people post videos. There's a lot of like the SLR cams, you know, that like will try to find the people, but they'll find it like a little puckwudgie running around the woods.
I would just like to be like queen of the puckwudgies.
I know. I actually, while doing this research, I did come across one story and I'm like, oh my God, I think Kara wrote this, because it was like, I know they're like such mean little creatures, but I feel like if I met one that I would be able to make it become my friend. I'm like, that is so Kara coded.
Yeah, it is. And it would happen. And I would become queen of the puckwudgies.
So you've also got Bigfoot. Obviously, we talked about him. Tons and tons of Bigfoot. But like It's kind of weird here, where most places he stays far away, this one, like, you won't hear anything, and all of a sudden there'll be, like, big footprints right behind you, or, like, things moving in the woods, and you can see the grass moving, but it, like, nothing there, like, it just full camouflage, and then you'll see a Bigfoot over here. It's, like, it's just weird the way he moves through here.
It's fun. He's just, like, you know, playing hide and seek.
Thunderbirds, like I said, the thunderbird, dinosaur, dragons, whatever you might think they are, people like are seeing these from their houses.
That's so cool.
The Dover demon. He's a Bridgewater boy from Dover, Mass. He's like a little alien. He's got like a big bulbous head and these tenderly fingers. And
yeah.
He's been seen since the 70s quite a few times around. And I'm not really sure if this like falls into cryptid territory, but I didn't know where else to put them. But a lot of fae, a lot of elemental creatures people encounter around here too. UFOs. I mean, we already talked about back from, what was it, 1760, that first sphere in the sky. Just a couple of quick other ones for you. 1968, witnesses report large orbs floating over the trees in Rehoboth. Just watch them for hours. In 1971, and then again in 1979, a similar UFO was reported that was supposed to be shaped like a baseball home plate with big red lights on the front that just flew over the area multiple times, but it was seen in 71 and the exact same thing was reported in 79. So it's like made multiple trips.
Okay.
If you're driving around Route 44 near Taunton, near the state hospital, like I said, just keep your eyes on the sky. Since 1976, at least one report a year.
Wow.
Then there's a town called Raynham. And this one, there was quite a few people who reported seeing flying saucer type UFOs around in the early 90s. And this was actually corroborated and reported by two policemen.
Oh, interesting.
And those are just kind of like the big ship UFOs they're seeing, the straight light or strange light anomalies, orbs, other craft, just constantly seen. I could spend probably about 3 days telling you all the ghost stories in the area.
Oh, shit.
But you have the, you know, ghostly hitchhikers who get in your car and disappear.
That would be so creepy.
Yep. Spirits in Hockomock that'll just throw items at you. Shadows peering out at you from pretty much any of the woods in the triangle. Like, it's just whatever is going on here. It's like it's so alive with so many different things.
So why this triangle?
Well, that leads
you're not perfectly. Gonna make fun of me. the last time we were talking about Hoyabachi, I said, why this forest? And you're like, you made fun of me so hard. So why this triangle?
But like, I feel, no, it wasn't why this forest. There was something where it was like, was like middle. Okay.
Here, hold on. Hold, please. Do, do,
do, do. I think you said, why is forest? Okay, whatever. We don't have time for this. You can prove me wrong later.
No, they need to hear.
Okay, but my point was, though, why do you think this forest?
Never mind, this clip cuts off.
Why do you think this forest?
I first said, why this forest? And then you laughed so hard you couldn't control yourself. So then I had to re-elaborate. Anyway.
Okay. Anyways, my next line is, so why is this place so weird? Totally, we'd get into some of the history. So the King Philip's War is, you know, there's some tensions between the Wampanoags and the settlers. They try to keep it peaceful for a while, but the settlers, they keep encroaching and stealing more and more resources until King Philip's like, fuck them. So he takes basically a parade of warriors just through the town fully armed. And they're like, dude, you can't do this. And he's like, we're not planning anything. And then they corner him again later. He's like, actually, no, yeah, we're planning a war. And then they start a war.
That's so insane.
It's almost 3 years, but it is the deadliest war on American soil.
Mm.
So, like, we're talking more deadly than the Civil War or any amount of bloodshed that's ever happened here.
That's insane.
So Blanger, remember, he's the one who said it, probably because of the history. So he had a quote on this. The King's Philip War was the bloodiest battle in U.S. or British history ever per capita, meaning that the greatest population died. 75% to 80% of the native Wampanoag people were wiped out during this war, and 25% of the colonists. That leaves a stain that I don't think can ever be washed away.
Yeah, no, that's yikes.
And of course, when it comes to pissing off Native Americans, we know that they curse the land. So you got a few other things coming. There's also, there were some rumors, and I didn't go too in-depth into this because I couldn't find a lot of really strong evidence for this, but it was in one of the YouTube videos that I watched that before the war started, it's rumored that Chief Metacomet and the Wampanoag people actually made a deal with the devil to push the colonists out. In fact, there's another rock, Kara. You thought we were done with the rocks.
You said we were.
I know. But it's got a big imprint of what looks like a giant footprint on it. And people call it like the devil's footprint there. And they think that's where the deal was struck.
Interesting. Or it could just be Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, which is why I didn't focus too much on that rock.
You're like, yeah, fuck this.
Then we got cults, right? So, I mean, this is whatever the satanic cult is. And it's hard. Like, there's enough evidence to know that it was truly here, but you can't find too much on it. But we know that brings in a lot of dark energy.
Oh, for sure.
And then you've just got the typical, like, I just feel like the East Coast has some strange weirdness there. Mm-hmm. Between Mass, Rhode Island, like something, a vortex, yeah. Thinner veil. I don't know. There's one final quote from Jeff who gives us little, you know, tidbits on his thoughts. And he says, I believe there's paranormal activity that goes on here. Whether it's a vortex or not, I do not know. But I do know the reports come up again and again, and they're all from credible sources. It's the past coming to the present, and that happens here. It happens here everywhere. I just love the way he talks because he's so cryptic. Too.
I love that.
Do you want to give me your thoughts on it now, or do you want to get through a couple short stories?
Oh, I want to hear these stories, baby.
Okay. All right. So I know I usually go long-winded. I found some short ones for us. So this one is from Nefarious Dew 4836. And okay. This is called My Bridgewater Triangle Story. When I was around the fifth grade, me, my sister, father, and dad's girlfriend at the time, Nicole, were researching haunted places to go in Mass, and we came across a place called the Bridgewater Triangle, apparently one of the most haunted places in America, blah, 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 blah. On Sunday evening, we went about an hour into Raynham, where there's a place called the Hockamuck Swamp. This is apparently like the most haunted place at the center of the triangle. Along with the haunting, there are also rumors of satanic witches, urban legend creatures, and aliens, so it's excited, needless to say. We walked for about an hour until it started getting dark, so we started heading back until I ran ahead and noticed some sticks that were not there before, but they were sort of in the form of a Blair Witch symbol. I picked this one because of that for you.
I was just thinking in my head, I pray to God it's not like Blair Witch symbols. Oh, no.
So I kicked it because my sister was already scared and she was a bit of a pussy. So not thinking anything, a bit of a pussy. So I didn't want her to get scared. Sorry, I almost skipped a line. We continued walking until I felt something cold touch my shoulder. And I said, Taryn, stop fucking touching me. Of course, God, it wasn't Taryn. I don't know what it was, but then we all saw the cattails at the swamp go straight down. Not like the wind, like somebody was walking on them. Mm-mm. We ran, and then I saw something across the street that I have wondered about since. I saw a tall, dark figure with what looked to be a white mask or something of that nature, with long, skinny arms and legs. I didn't get a good look at it because we were running, but I saw he was wearing all black, and it just stood there, barely moving, until we pulled the car around. I went to point it out to my dad, and he was gone. To this day, nobody believes me about the witch sign or the monster. But I do not recommend going anywhere near the damn Bridgewater Triangle.
That, first off, everybody listening knows that we don't kick stick.
Don't kick witch symbols. Also, if you find things in the woods or out and about, like spell jar looking things or witchy looking things, leave them the fuck alone.
Absolutely. You said it was a white mask?
Yes. Mm. Or what appeared to be a white
mask. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what, like a witch doctor or something. I don't know, I'm just thinking. Okay.
To me, it gave a little bit Slender Man vibes, but...
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So 5 years ago, user on Reddit, Jabanoi, J-A-B-N-O-I, posted another short one for us. I grew up in New Bedford and would go hiking and spend the night out there in the Freetown State Forest, not very far from Profile Rock. My brother and I had experienced on more than one occasion things that were not explainable. This would have been between 1990 and 1999. We heard ritualistic drums and chanting one night. Mm-hmm. Another night, glowing orbs that we thought were other people carrying lanterns or high-powered flashlights. However, there were no people upon checking it out, and they faded away before our eyes. Never mind the, and then in all caps, screams you would hear in the dead of the night, carried by the darkness. On another occasion, and this still haunts me to this day, we were hiking in what I can only describe as the darkest night imaginable, with limited light sources. And as we were hiking along a path to our right, we heard something breaking brush and tree branches, charging toward us in the pitch black. Whatever it was massive and heavy. And as it charged, it let out this otherworldly demonic growl. And that's the only way I can describe it. I now live in Seattle, Washington, and I'm a 37-year-old avid hiker. And I've heard everything from cougars, elk, caribou, wolves, bears, and pretty much most big game. And this was none of those. My brother, with a baseball bat in hand, charged the woodline, swinging and yelling. And just like that, the night fell dead silent. Not a cricket, not a sound, only the sound of our hearts beating out of our chests.
Your brother's an idiot. What? I don't know. Oh, my God.
It's all.
Give me another one.
Okay. So the last one I've got for you is from Cintikiz. I don't know. Cintekzzz.
Yeah, okay.
This is a true story. My account of a UFO I personally saw last summer. First time for me. I wasn't drunk, and I've never seen anything before, paranormal or otherwise, that I couldn't explain. So here you go. July 30th, 2017, 12:30 a.m. Roughly, Middlesbrough, Massachusetts. I love the way that it's like written. Traveling south on 495 near exit 5, I witnessed an object in the sky traveling parallel with the road off to my right side. Up in the sky, or up to the right side. Oh my God, I can't talk today. Off to the right side, up in the sky.
Oh, off to the right side, up in the sky?
So it's traveling parallel to the road, off to her right and in the sky. It's a UFO.
Okay. We got it.
I could not give you an accurate height/distance from the ground, although it seemed to be traveling at a lower altitude compared to the average aircraft. Due to the size of the light I witnessed, I was able to tell roughly where it was. Really, just about a city block or two above the tree line. Given the darkness of the sky, I could not make out a shape, other than a round, maybe oval shape with green lights. It appeared to be much larger than a light one would witness from a plane, helicopter, or maybe a satellite. I would equate the look of it to a tap light pointing down on the earth, but instead of a soft white, it was a bright green. I'm not exactly sure what a tap light is, but...
Okay, I was going to ask.
Don't. The duration of this event was very fast because it traveled faster than any object I have ever witnessed in my entire life. It didn't necessarily light up the whole sky, but was bright enough to grab my attention while driving. I've seen my share of shooting stars, meteor showers, etc., and I would not compare this object to any of those. The speed was much greater as it traveled north to south across the sky. I wish I had an explanation, but I could not describe it as anything other than a UFO, as I could not identify it as any object I am familiar with. Sorry, this has so many typos in it. I'm doing the best I can. Cannot identify it as any object I'm familiar with because I am just your everyday average citizen. And then he just ends it with good stuff.
Okay.
So I kind of picked, you know, we got some ghosty ones, we got some UFO ones, maybe a Bigfoot cryptid sighting, but there's a lot of weird shit that happens out here. Anyways, yeah. I have a second question for you. When are we going?
I was going to ask you, so when do we go?
I would love to go. I would love to go with Sam or like a Ronnie LeBlanc. I want to go. I want to do like, if I'm going to go out there, I think I'm going to leave the UFO. I'm going to leave the ghost stuff. I mean, I'm sure I'll still come across it, but I want to do a Bigfoot hunt. All right. I've been practicing like tapping some big sticks on trees to do the Bigfoot calls.
When have you been practicing that?
Every day.
No.
Every day I practice my Bigfoot calls. So that's what I want to do. I want to go Bigfoot hunting.
No, that would be amazing. Well, I don't like the term.
Not hunting. Not hunting.
Looking. We're just looking.
Bigfoot
observing. Looking.
Yes.
We're looking. We want a Bigfoot look.
Anyways, that's a really condensed, like, try to give you a taste of everything of the forest. If you want to dig in more, there's a really good documentary on Amazon. Also, Morbid did like a multi-part, being that they live in the Triangle. They have a lot of firsthand experiences. So there's a good one to check out. And Jeff Blanger, he's written a ton on it. Lauren Coleman, go do yourself some learning. We gave you as much as we could in an hour. God damn it.
Can we unbuckle our seatbelts now?
Yeah, you can unbuckle. You can get out of the bus. Don't forget to tip the tour guide on the way out, please.
You weren't good.
I work on tips. This was my first tour. Anyways.
My tip for you is to find another job.
I'm going to keep finding rocks.
I thought you were going to keep banging sticks.
Both. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And when I capture me a Bigfoot, you're going to be really jealous.
When I capture me, we're not capturing him. We're looking.
Well, I wanted to capture one. I don't want to kill him, but I bet there's a good ransom.
Where are you going to keep him or her?
Catch and release. Thing?
Well, then what's the point of a ransom?
Not a ransom. What's it? A reward. Like, if I could prove that Bigfoot existed.
Then it's not a catch and release. Okay, just to prove you're saying.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do Bigfoot like that?
Reward money.
What do you ever do to you?
Fame, fortune.
Please let's get out of here before Bigfoot lovers All right. come for us.
So with that, before we let you go, if you guys have any personal Bridgewater triangle stories, let us know. Write in. We're still working on a way to get you to call in and tell us. What else? Leave us a review if you want to. We'd appreciate you forever and ever and ever. And what else should they do, Kara?
I mean, if you made it this long, you can comment hashtag justice for Bigfoot on our socials.
There you go.
All right, that's really all I have. I'm really tired. I'm starting to get delusional and cranky.
Okay, well then say the words and let us go.
We love you. Thank you for listening. Please come back. Most importantly, creepy really oddballs.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oddity Shop.